Amen. 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 Thank you so much, Barb, for that lovely special number. Please take your Bible with me now and turn to the book of 2 Timothy in the New Testament this evening. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll turn to several places tonight, but we're going to start in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, let me warn you this evening, just as a word of warning, I have ongoing, have had this silly cold. I don't let the cold stop me, okay? I don't let it stop me. I love to talk about it, though, because it gains a little bit of sympathy every now and then, and men do love sympathy, but because of this, I'm a little ornery tonight, okay? Now listen, just listen. I'm a little bit ornery tonight, and I'm preaching a message that's a little bit ornery tonight, and then on top of it, these folks from North Salem are here, and I feel so bad. We've got a number of folks from North Salem. I feel bad because every time y'all come, I'm ornery, okay? Really, it isn't like that all the time, but tonight, I just feel led of the Lord to, and this is going to be practical. Now listen, don't anybody get mad, okay? Don't anybody get mad. If you do, you're a wimp, okay? Don't be a wimp, and don't get mad tonight. Just get right and get glad. We're going to talk about something extremely practical. There is an admonition that is given several times in the Bible, either given directly or implied, several times in the Bible that every person in this room needs to hear. I have to give this admonition to myself when things get hard. And tonight, we really want to learn something tonight, and something from the Bible that is practical living. Now, let me say, there is a generation in this room tonight that knows all about everything I will say this evening. And there's a generation in this room tonight that's going to agree with every word of it. There's also a generation, and I'm speaking of my generation, that has a huge problem with the issue I'm going to deal with tonight. And so I want you to hear the message this evening and understand it's from the Word of God tonight. Your Bible's open to 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse number 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Now pause there with me for a moment. pardon me. Let me grab some Kleenex here. These are for the altar, but I might have to use them tonight. Pardon me. The verse that I want us to look at tonight quickly, in verse 3, "Thou therefore endure hardness." Now those two words, you might underline them in your Bible tonight. This is not the only place we're going with this message. Is it hot in here? Okay, I must be running a fever. Boy, this is going to be rich tonight, okay? When I get delirious, it gets rich around here. All right. Verse number 3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for mastery, said, is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully? The husband that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." Back to verse number 3, two words I want you to see there, endure hardness. Endure hardness. Now, I'm going to show you several places in the Bible, especially in the book of 2 Timothy, and then other places where the Bible talks to us about the matter of endurance. The matter of endurance. Tonight, the message is entitled, "Toughen Up." Toughen Up. Now, you say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" There is a time in the Christian life for tenderness, and I understand that. But there is also a time in the Christian life for toughness. And I think if there's one thing that my generation and below is missing, it is the concept of toughness about living. It has been variously stated in our culture that we are in the midst of a generation of whiners. And indeed we are. People that whine and complain about everything, the slightest discomfort to them becomes a roadblock for living. And I, as a pastor, unfortunately, I have heard that even from good people who have bought into the false philosophy, and I say it's a false philosophy, that the numerous little roadblocks or bumps along the way in life should somehow keep them accomplishing the things that God wants them to accomplish. And may I say with the Apostle Paul, we're to endure hardness. In other words, we're to toughen up about some things, and we're going to talk about those things. Now, you say, well, now, preachers, this is just going to be one of those messages where you get kind of militaristic and demand people to get disciplined and demand people to just do right and to keep on doing right if they have to charge through the very pit of hell? Yes. Yes. Because that's what built this country. Because it was that kind. Now, you hear me tonight. The weakness that is now endemic in American culture is absolutely disgusting to a generation that is watching on, that literally marched through hell in Europe and in the Pacific to preserve freedom for us today, and then to see our people today, a generation that is so quickly turned aside from their goals and their dreams and their desires, and even from doing the will of God, because they miss a creature comfort, or some small bump in the road comes, or some little roadblock, and they won't just charge through it, but they're hung up at every turn. You hear me tonight, ladies and gentlemen. It is time we toughen up. It's desperately needed. The Apostle Paul said, number one, endure hardness. Endure hardness. Preacher, what does it mean? It means, listen carefully, to patiently function through difficulty. Oh, let me serve notice, especially people my age and younger. Let me serve notice on you. Life is not easy. And it was never intended to... Wait just a moment. Initially, life was pretty easy in the Garden of Eden. Remember back, if you will, with me to the garden. God created man and woman. What a nice thing that must have been for Adam. Adam was created first, then Eve was created later. You know, that was really convenient. He didn't have to date anybody. He didn't have to hunt around prospects, you know, and wonder if she would be the right one. No, none of that, because God just brought her. And she was perfect. You say, preacher, how do you know she was perfect? Because there were no genetic mutations. That hadn't happened yet. She was perfect in every detail. And he was perfect in every detail. And then God said, here's a beautiful garden. And you can eat of all the fruit of the trees of the garden. And I've got all kinds of things. I got pomegranates over there and lemons over here. And I got bananas over here. And that ape will hand you a banana if you want one. And I've got oranges over there. And I've got apples. I've got all this stuff. And you can just have at it and eat and have a good time. Live in the garden in the afternoon. I'm going to come down. We're going to fellowship. Oh, boy, we're going to have a big time. Boy, that was easy street. Yeah, it didn't last very long. Genesis chapter 3 came along. Now, hear me. Genesis chapter 3, man got too big for his britches. Well, he didn't have britches. There was another thing about that garden. It must have been warm weather. And man sinned against the Lord. And when that happened, do you know what God said as part of the curse? Listen, God said, in the sweat of thy brow shalt thou eat bread. He said, Adam, you're going to till the ground. And Adam, before the fall, before he went into sin, part of his job was to fix up the garden and to landscape it and to make it pretty, to use his creative prowess, which of course was untainted by sin, and so he must have been a masterful artist. And Adam used his creative prowess to guard the garden and to keep the garden, to dress it, to make it look nice. God said, now Adam, before when you did it, everything used to come up roses. It was beautiful. Everything you touched, you had a green thumb. It was easy. He said, now Adam, that you've fallen into sin, not only in the sweat of thy brow shalt thou eat bread, but Adam, when you go to till the land, thorns and thistles shall it bring forth unto thee. Adam, you're going to have a tough time. And he said, from the fall of man, Adam, all of your descendants will have it rough. You hear me today. The avoidance of difficulty is not even biblical. Life is designed by God to have its roughness and its toughness. You say, preacher, what does it mean to endure hardness? The word endure, now listen to me, means to patiently function through difficulty. I want you to write that down, because that's something we need. Endurance means to patiently function through difficulty. It means when a difficult time or a hard time comes. Now hear me. It means we do not freak out. It means we do not throw everything aside. Oh, I can't make it anymore! And collapse in a big pile of tears. To endure hardness means that when difficulty comes, I patiently function through the difficulty. I do not run from the difficulty. I do not shrink from the difficulty. I do not cower before the difficulty when presented. No! I patiently function through the difficulty. Ladies and gentlemen, this in our society is becoming a lost art. Notice the Bible says in verse number 3, we're to endure hardship, we're not to enjoy it. Everyone look this way. Enjoyment is overrated. Whew, wow. I can't believe what he just said. He's a Neanderthal. Enjoyment is overrated. Why does everybody think that everything has to be fun? Why have we come to the place where we believe that everything has to be a circus? Why do we think, for example, that there's something wrong with our marriage if it's not like Disney World? Why do we have the idea that our lives are not fulfilled if we're not involved in something that brings us incredible enjoyment and happiness all the day? Hear me, those things are good in life. I enjoyed life today. I enjoyed it. You say, what do you? I enjoyed that Sunday morning service, didn't you? Boy, I enjoyed it. I liked seeing some chairs up and down the aisle, and I liked seeing the big crowd. I enjoyed that. You know what I enjoyed too? Woo, Easter Sunday dinner. Thank God for permission to eat ham, brother. It was good. It was good. And now this big spread. Kelly had this big spread of dinner, and we just ate. And then she had this ice cream cake. She made this homemade ice cream cake. Whoa, was that good? Two pieces of that, I nearly went into a coma. It was so good. I enjoyed it. But listen, now listen. Do you know what? Every meal I eat is not a Sunday meal. Okay? That's the apex. That's the top. You used to preach to the looks of you, you're growing. I know. Oh, I hate it. I've got to get back on some kind of a diet. I don't know what to do. I thought if I exercised, I could eat whatever I wanted. It's not working. And that's the apex. Do you know what happens, though? Through the week, we don't eat like that through the week. Okay, we eat regular, normal food that everybody else eats. Just humble food. Oatmeal for breakfast. You mean, preacher, you don't get up out of bed early in the morning and say, fix me an omelet? No, yuck. I just eat a bowl of oatmeal. Now watch. Part of life you endure, and there's little parts you enjoy. Let me ask you a question. Could I have everybody, just everybody in the audience, this is not in the notes, so I'm treading on thin ice. Everybody in the audience who's been married 40 years or more, raise your hand. Look at those hands. Boy, thank God for that. What a remarkable number of folks. Okay, now, put your hands down. You don't have to put your hands up for this, but I can ask this question. I think I could guess it. Did you enjoy every moment of those 40 years? You didn't. Be honest. Be honest. No, preacher, not every moment, not 40 years. You're safe. You're not going to divorce court. But you know, I guess, I'd have to guess that there have been some times when rather than enjoy, listen, you endured. But you want to know, 40-year people? You want to know what's the difference between you and the 20-something guy who gets married and the 20-something gal who gets married? You want to know what it is? The difference between you and them is this. When the going, now follow me, we're getting somewhere with the message tonight. When the going got tough, you toughed it out and you endured it. You said, now right now I'm not enjoying it. Right now my hubby is not being all that he should be. Or right now my wife's not being all that she should be. But because I made a commitment before God, even if there's a moment when I'm not enjoying it, I will endure it because I made a vow to God and it's the right thing to do. And guess what? You endured for a while, and all of a sudden, it got enjoyable again. You know what happens to the 20-something people that get married? They think, oh, it's going to be wonderful. Why? Because finally, there's somebody in my life who's going to meet all of my needs. You're crazy. You know why you're crazy? Because that other person is saying the same thing. And you've got two people who are totally consumed with themselves. And there, oh, I can't, well, when I marry her, it'll be just heaven on earth because she's there to please me. Buddy, she's thinking the same thing about you. And you've got two people that are thinking all about themselves, entering into holy matrimony, and you want to talk about a fight. Now, what did the older generation have? They had a spirit of endurance. When the hardness came, they didn't throw in the towel. This younger generation says, well, it's not fun anymore. I had a man say this to me one time. Pastor, I just don't enjoy it like my marriage. I just don't enjoy it like I did the first couple weeks. Boy, are you ever a loony bird? Those first couple weeks, they fade, don't they? Endure hardness. And he said to do it, by the way, as a good soldier. I like to point this out to married couples sometimes. I like to point this out. You know, we have these romantic wedding ceremonies here at the church, and people sing these songs about, oh, how I love, blah, blah, blah. And there's this love song, and someone sings a sonnet, and there's all this pretty music, and there's that canon in D, da, 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 da. No, that's graduation. I don't know, but there's all this music, you know. And it's all so romantic, and it's all so sweet. And then I say, as the preacher, I say, now, you may kiss the bride. And, oh, buddy's been chomping at the bit, because we know he's a fundamental Baptist. He ain't practiced a lick. You think I believe that? And then they kiss. And I said, I'd like to present to you Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so. And then you know what? The next piece of music they hear is not a beautiful sonnet. It's not a love song. It's not some kind of pretty water music written by Handel. It's nothing like that. The very next song they hear is a march. Yeah, it's called the Wedding March. That ought to send you a message, buddy. You've enlisted in the army now. And they march out the door. Why? Because there's going to be some hardship. Paul said this, patiently function through difficulty. You say, preacher, what is the hardness spoken of there? It's any tough time. It's physical tough times. Some of us go through that as we age. It's financial tough times. It can even be emotional tough times. What Paul is saying there is this. He's saying endure hardness. It means don't fall apart. Now, can I cross the line into controversial tonight? Here we go. Nervous breakdowns are sinful. Pastor, I can't believe you said that. It's going to go all over the internet. I said it because I mean it. You hear me, please. Doctors say that a person has a nervous breakdown. Now listen, when they run out of all resources and they collapse on the inside. If you're here as a Christian tonight, you never run out of all resources. Because God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And my God can sustain. And he says, I'm to endure hardness. And you know what you need to do? By the way, you know there are people that contemplate having nervous breakdowns. There really are. There are people that plan them into their schedule. Okay? There are nutty people out there. Hear me. That's not of God. When you get kind of on the edge a little bit, you need to run into the shelter, which is God Almighty. You need to go back under those wings wherein thou art come to trust and find the deep resources of God. It's wrong to fall apart and crash. That's not spiritual. That makes me so mad. Okay, now listen. If you're angry about the statement I just made, it's because you want to defend the possibility of having a nervous breakdown. Why don't you just get right with God? You say, preacher, that's tough medicine. It is. Endure hardness. It comes to each one of us. Now, number two, look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. We've only just begun. Got a few minutes here. 2 Timothy 4, verse 3. The Bible says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now, notice that there will be a group of people in the end times that will not endure sound doctrine. First, endure hardness, but secondly, endure sound doctrine. I put this point here because I just said something that people might disagree with. Ah, preacher, I don't like the tenor of that message. Well, listen, I don't care if you like it. You know, the Bible says you have to do. You have to endure it. It's sound doctrine. Do you know some sound doctrine is not enjoyable? Now, hear me. Listen, please. Listen, please. The church growth gurus and experts say that every message that I bring from the pulpit, oh, it needs to be just light and happy and friendly and positive. And oh, Pastor, be sure you're uplifting everybody. I do that sometimes, and you know I do. If you sometimes go out of here with a skip in your step, and it's almost like the Lawrence Welk show sometimes. It's so good. And you're just as happy as you can be, blowing bubbles on your way out the door. But there are times when sound doctrine must be endured. And those are the times when you sit under preaching and you get angry. Preacher, do you ever hear preaching that makes you upset? You better believe I do. I've heard some preaching. Listen, I'll never forget this one time. I was in a service. It was a tent meeting, okay? And it was an evangelist. I think it was evangelist Jimmy Clark. He's a Southern evangelist. He was preaching under a big tent. And he was, I mean, you talk about a mean preacher. He was on it. And he said, some of you, and I'm sitting in the audience wondering, whenever preachers say that, don't you wonder if you're one of them? He says, some of you out there, right now, while I'm preaching in this tent, and you're seated in this tent, some of you right now at home, if I was to go home to your refrigerator, I'd open up your refrigerator and guess what I'd find? And I'm thinking, I don't know what he'd find in mine. I was a bachelor at the time, so there's no telling what was lurking in my refrigerator. And I'm thinking, boy, he's about to get onto the beer. He's about to get on the liquor crowd. Old Jimmy Clark said, I'd open up your refrigerator and guess what I'd find? I'd find salad dressing with white wine in it. I got to wondering about my salad dressing. I said, oh my soul. Wishbone dressing. I never did check the label to see what the ingredients are. And Jimmy Clark preached for 15 minutes against salad dressing. Only preacher I ever heard. You talk about mean. So I went home and checked my refrigerator. I honestly did. I felt like I'd have to quit the ministry or something. I was really concerned. Sometimes we have to endure sound doctrine. Listen, don't become rebellious. Just stick it out. Someone said, preacher, your preaching rubs me the wrong way. Remember, it's the rub that brings out the shine. All I'm saying tonight is this. Sometimes, rather than enjoy it, it's an endurance contest. And sometimes when the preacher preaches hard about something, rather than becoming rebellious, well, I didn't like that preaching. I didn't like that message. Can I let you in on a little secret? This is good tonight. It's not about you. I didn't like it. Whoa. It's not about you. It's about Him. It's about the book. Hell, you made me mad! Oh! It's not about you. Endure sound doctrine. Endure hardness. Endure sound doctrine. Quickly look at verse number 5, same chapter, chapter 4. Look what he says. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction. Endure affliction. You say, preacher, what's the difference between enduring hardness and enduring affliction? Enduring hardness is just the tough things of life. We've all got to knuckle under and deal with them. Afflictions are special trials. They go beyond the normal hardships of life. James 1 and verse 12 uses the word temptations. And it said, blessed are you when you endure temptations. It means trials. For when you're tried, you'll receive a crown of life. Enduring afflictions means this. I endure specific trials that God brings in my life that are over and above the hardship. It means when the heat is turned up, I stay in the kitchen. It means when the doctor gives me a bad report, support. I love God and pray and read the Bible, and I'm faithful to Him anyway. Enduring means this. Now hear me, please. I'm going to be real practical. Enduring means, number one, stay where you are. Stay where you are. Well, preacher, oh, I've got it rough at work. I'll just quit and go somewhere else. I've known people that come under a little pressure at work. I mean added pressure, affliction pressure. Not the normal thing, but a little extra pressure. They get all discouraged about, I'm going to quit. And they march out the door and they say, well, I'm done with that job. And we'll see how long Coca-Cola Company survives without me. Listen, they ain't even going to miss you. Okay. They march out the door. Then they hold a job for another year. And an affliction comes and they quit that. And over time, they have a habit of quitting everything they've begun. Say, listen to me. Listen to me. There's some kids that do the same thing with college. They ain't got turned out. Oh, I didn't like that college, Pastor. You sent me to that Christian university. It was like a prison. Glory to God. Well, we need a few more like that. Thank God for it. I mean, everybody wants their freedom. Freedom to do what, pray tell? Freedom to sin? It ought to be like a prison. Endure afflictions. They said, well, it got a little rough, so I couldn't do it. Now listen. You can endure specific trials and hardships that come your way. How do you do it? You stay where you are. Listen to me. Do not run in flight from your problems. Please. Oh, I beg of you. Hear me tonight. When you run because you have a problem, the problem has won and you have lost. Years and years ago, I heard Jack Hiles say this, and I think it was good. He was talking to a group of preachers, and he said this. He said, men, do you want to know what the difference is between you and Lee Roberson? And I'm in the crowd. I'm thinking, there's a lot of differences. Lee Roberson's a good 100 pounds lighter. He's got snow on the rooftop, but at least he's got snow. And I thought, there's a lot of difference. He said this. He said, the only difference between you and Lee Roberson is this. He said, When Lee Roberson faced the same problem you're facing, he didn't quit. Now, those of you who know Lee Roberson, he built the great Highland Park Baptist Church, Tennessee Temple Schools. Isn't that profound? When he faced the same problem you're facing, he didn't quit. He said, the problem is you turned tail and ran. You quit. You decided you had to go find a different church or a different ministry. You decided that you had to leave and be done. Bottom line is this, endurance means stay where you are. Number two, endurance is this. I'm just giving you a definition for the hardship times or the affliction times. Keep doing what you do. That's how you endure. You keep doing. Well, Pastor, now I understand the hardships of life, but man, this thing's just poured on top of me, and I don't know what I'm going to do because it's so awful and it's so bad. Hey, let me tell you what you do. Keep on doing what you've been doing. My daddy wasn't even saved. He was one of the greatest examples of this I've ever seen. One day, my daddy went to the hospital. He'd had some symptoms of colon cancer. They discovered it was colon cancer. He'd gone to the hospital. That was in the, I think it was the late spring, early summer. He was a public school teacher. He went through some treatments that summer. By the end of that summer, my dad could not stand up to teach school. He could walk just a very little bit. He had a wheelchair that he'd sit in and wheel himself around, and he could walk just enough to lift that wheelchair and put it into the car. And when he had all of these issues and physical problems, and all of this was caving in, and he had cancer, and the doctor said it was terminal, and he was going to die, the public school system of Minneapolis said to my dad, they said, look, you can be on disability. You can't walk anymore. There's no way. It'll be hard for you to get back and forth to school, and you can be on disability. We'll pay your disability, no problem. You know what my dad said? My dad said, I'll never take a dime of that. Preacher, what did he do? He got him a wheelchair. And he could walk enough to pick up that wheelchair, fold it, put it in the trunk of his car. He drove it to school, and the last year he taught junior high school in Minneapolis, Minnesota, he taught that from a wheelchair. And by the way, that was the year in Minneapolis. There was one year where the city school board voted to allow for corporal punishment. In public school, you could spank. For one year, they allowed spanking. My dad had a heyday. He said, preacher, how did he do it? he could move in that wheelchair. And those junior hires thought they could get away. But my dad would wheel himself over, and he said to me one day, he said there was some kid out of line. He wheeled himself over, grabbed the kid from behind, threw him over his knee, and wailed him right on a wheelchair. Let me tell you something, folks. That's what you do. You don't cave in even when the big afflictions come. Keep doing what you do. He says, preacher, this is tough medicine because I'd rather whine about it and cave in and have everybody think it's so hard. Stop it. Stop it. Do what you do. Stay where you are. Do what you do. And number three, this will help me to finish out. Hope for a better tomorrow. Spiritual, what do you mean about that? Endurance means I'm under pressure. Endurance means I stay where I am, I keep doing what I'm doing, but you know what there is in my heart? There's hope that things will get better. Never lose hope. You have to endure through some things, but you never lose hope. You say, preacher, what happens if you have a difficult time in life? I go through it and hope that tomorrow's a little better. Preacher, what happens if you get a bad doctor report? If I went in right now, I sure would. I go through it and hope things will get better. Now, please hear me. Never let hope die. Hope is that which will entice you to carry on through. And listen to me. With Christ, hope need never die. Does everyone understand what I'm saying? You say, why, preacher? Because I just happen to be naive enough to believe that the book contains all things that pertain to life and godliness. Preacher, what should I do? Two simple words, just toughen up. Just toughen up. Trust God and toughen up. Now let me close with this. Everything that is great that has ever been accomplished in this world has been accomplished by tough people. Everything that is positive that has ever been accomplished in this world has been accomplished by people who would not give up when they faced a detour or even a roadblock. Right now, you can see me as a result of a man who wouldn't give up. See those electric lights up there? See those? Thomas Edison tested, I think, 80 or 100 different elements of things to burn in an electric light bulb. Everything burned out until he came across the right thing. I'm glad he never quit. He just endured. You say, but preacher, he failed the first time. Yeah, he did. He failed the second time, and the third, and the fourth, and the fifth. One after another, he endured it until he succeeded. He continued on when most of us would have quit. All I'm saying tonight is if you're going to accomplish something in your life, you don't quit. You endure hardness. Tough it out. You say, preacher, it's so hard. I hear this from young couples sometimes. We've got children now, and I never realized how much that one little baby, how tough it would be. Please spare me the details. So, preacher, you're not being empathetic. No, because every time I hear someone whining about some kid, I think about pioneers that crossed a continent span in a covered wagon. The woman with 1, 2, 3, 4 or more little children, and they walked across America to build a better life for us. Do you know doctors, medical doctors, I'll finish with this, medical doctors have estimated that in the 1800s, people exercised what would be the equivalent of walking 10 miles a day. That was their exercise. That's why those people could eat the way they did. 10 miles per day. And you know, they accomplished incredible feats of heroism. And we live here today because of it. Listen, listen. And we get upset when we can't buckle in the little seat, the child safety seat, when the buckle doesn't work right. It throws off our whole day. No. Just toughen up. Endure hardness, and God will do wonderful things in your life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight. There's so much more we could have covered. Lord, help us as a people. This is a generation, Lord, that never hears this anymore. God, how we need some toughness. How we need determination. God, if we're sick, we need to be in work and working. God, if we're tired, we need to be where we're expected to be. God, we need to go above and beyond the call of duty. Lord, we need to endure some hardness. God, I pray you'd help us to be determined in that. Father, there's such a void of character anymore. God, sometimes when the going gets tough, we run to the doctor and look for a pill to take. God, help us as a people to just endure hardness with faith in God, to get some grit in our cross, some strength of character, some determination that will not be denied. Father, please help us. Help us, Lord, to obey the injunction of Scripture to endure hardness, endure sound doctrine, and endure affliction. God, give us that spirit that will go through patiently trials and difficulties with hope in our heart for a better tomorrow. Father, how this message could save a marriage, how it could save a family tonight, how it could keep a job, an employee in his right place of employment, a student in his school. Father, help us to understand that life is not made of good times and parties, but there are huge expanses of endurance. Help us, Lord, to strengthen our faith and draw closer to Thee. Bless these thoughts, Lord. Make us tough. We pray it in Jesus' name. Let's stand.